B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Tony Mass, you look better in a goalie mask. I'm glad I hear you, not see you with your homely ass. You a Yankees fan, man, that disturbs me. Your words are worth less than a Zolak jersey.
I'm right there with you.
Sup, Zoe? I guess you kinda went pro. You got a show, cause every game in the 90s you went front row. And Mark Bertrand Beetle, I saw it firsthand. Donuts, he all about thunking like a Spurs fan. Wallach, he ain't smart, reading stats on laptops. Looking like an eagle, he could be the BC mascot. Cut the mic on Michael Felger, bright and early kid. I'm a son of kinda like Mike. Go early dead. Your hot takes are kind of cold instead. Jimmy Hayes had you shaking in your Nantucket Reds. Is it Big Jim Murray or Bald Jim Murray? Hat always on his dome. He's unknown like Adam Jones. Piece of TNR. I'ma let him slide because I got nothing written. Just kidding. Oh, Rich, and get Fred out the way because today I got to use my rap AK and spray. Rich certainly, but geek needing confidence. Always on Twitter, man, retweeting compliments. Yeah, I heard about your league leading dominance, but when I'm in the car, man, it doesn't reach Providence. I know you do your best to entertain, but get a brain. You're as funny as Kevin James, Rich. And Freddie T, I don't got a lot for you, except maybe that your wife is too hot for you. The way that you be dressing, man, that is what not to do. Looking like a dingbag, sounding like a pig cat. I'm saying that everybody plays the fool. That's appropriate for Fred at the JCC pool. Catch him on Comcast, looking half homeless. A legend in his own mind, like Johnny Gomes is.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. Watch us on Twitch.tv, the Twitch app. You can subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app while you're at it. Listen to the show, listen to the podcasts. And that's Esoteric from years ago doing the 98 mile.
Mm-hmm. Esoteric losing to Dan Roach, I believe, in that round.
Well, it gave us Dan Roach something he celebrates to this day on Twitter.
He does. Yes. He thoroughly enjoyed that. He was a rock star for an evening.
Yeah.
Him and the Revenge of the Nerds.
It's
theme.
In his Twitter bio, I think. It says 98 Mile Champ.
Great. Yeah, he had all his lyrics taped to the floor.
And then he skipped an entire verse in the middle of it.
You couldn't hear anything anyway.
It ended up working out at the end.
Oh, no, it did. He got the crowd on his side. I just remember standing up there on stage with him.
It was you.
I was like, whoa.
It was you, Marshall Hook, Bob Soucy, and him as the Revenge of the Nerds, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and he did the Revenge of the Nerds theme.
Yeah.
And took out Scott Zolak, who just came out there and started yelling a lot.
So, he's yelling the whole show.
Yeah, Zoe is up in the upper bowl there, like going, let's go, Zolak.
Yeah,
you know, during
people chanting.
Yeah.
That was he was totally in his element. Scott Zolak was out there and... Do you think it actually hurt Scott Zolak that he didn't win, that he lost to Dan Roach?
Yes. No. Yes, yeah, I do.
I think there was a little bit of an ego bruise there.
Yes, I do.
I don't know. He'd already got the crowd chanting before that.
That's true. He did have his ego push at the time.
Yeah, the crowd can only chant for you so many times during a hour and a half long or two. That thing was forever. However long it took a long time.
Yeah.
If people wanted to have somewhere to sit, they certainly got it because that was a long event, no question about it. So yeah, you got that going there with Esoteric, a trip down memory lane for the good people. The JCC pool, that is something that I have not been to for many, many years.
Yeah,
I had to upgrade. I had to turn my back on the JCC pool. It had served its purpose.
Well, now you're a country club guy.
Oh, baby. I'll tell you
what. Is that pool open yet?
No.
Okay.
That's the pool.
Have you been outside, John? Look, it's still cold.
Yeah. It's the pool's not open. No, Memorial Day to Labor Day, which is a shame because September is... there's times in June where it's too cold to go to the pool.
Yeah,
in September,
the whole summer
it's
should
warm.
Shift. Right. Like, September should be qualified as a summer activity month here. I mean, they close things way too early when September is sometimes just as nice as August is.
Yes. I mean, it doesn't magically shift just because it turns September. I mean, it stays warm out. Mm-hmm. It pisses me off every year. And then the JCC pool one year gave you an extra week. But then they didn't do it again. So you can't give the people something and then rip it away from them. Sure. You don't understand what I'm saying? Once you give them the week and then you take it away, everyone goes, where's the week? Where are you? And I think because of COVID last year, the country club allowed the pool to stay open a little bit longer. And so but then they go, well, there's not enough kids. The kids are all back in college. They can't lifeguard. And I said, you can find lifeguards. There's plenty of lifeguards running around. You can find them.
Or just say, hey, there's no lifeguards. That's just what a sign says, hey, no lifeguards.
You want the liability? Please. By the way, this country club's got like 18 lifeguards at all times. I can't think of anything more boring in my entire life.
Did you ever lifeguard when you were...
No.
See, I did, and it was the best job ever. Now, beach lifeguarding would suck. Like, that's legitimate work. Yeah. Like, I was a lifeguard for a neighborhood pool that was the size of a postage stamp. It was the greatest gig
I had a
ever.
Buddy of mine who had the same gig.
I always feel bad because they'll sit in the chair, and then they'll all leave the chairs if no one's in the pool. And so... You know, my son will be in camp or something. We'll take my daughter to the pool. And the minute we get in the pool, one of them, like, begrudgingly has to get up and walk towards the lifeguard stand. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel bad because you're making them sit in the lifeguard stand.
Yeah, I was basically a glorified babysitter for most of the summer. Because what would happen is you'd go to the neighborhood pool and, like, parents would just drop off their kids all day. And, like, if there was a fight, the parents would get mad at you that you didn't stop a fight that was, like, outside the pool grounds. You're like, I'm watching the pool, man. And there's, like, no one in the pool. I just don't want to deal with it. Like, why would I deal? It's not my job.
Did you have to take, all the life? Did you have to be able to swim a certain amount? Did you have to hold your breath for a certain amount of time?
Oh, yeah. The certification actually wasn't a joke. Like, it was fairly tough. Like, there was the thing where you had to hold the brick over your head and tread water for, like, 10, 15 minutes. That's tougher than you think. And then you had to go down and get the dummy off the bottom of the pool. And then you had to, you had to learn all the CPR stuff. So, yeah, the training kind of sucked, but once you got the gig, it was the greatest. Because, like, you know, half the time, it would rain, and you would just sit there. Basically, you'd show up, you'd check the pH of the pool, you'd write it down, and then you would basically sit and watch kids dive and just tell them to stop pushing each other. And that was it.
But you're out in the open. Like, every minimum wage job I've had...
Oh, this was a minimum wage. That was the great thing about, like, I was in high school. And so for a high school gig, you know, I was working two jobs at a time. I was a lifeguard during the day and I was Subway at night. And Subway was paying, I think, $5.25 an hour. And the pool was paying $10 an hour. And for like a 16-year-old kid, that was amazing money. So just
regardless, every hourly wage job I've had, you could sit in private. Like, when I worked at the half-off card shop, I would just go into the stock room, which was huge, and just and sit there. And then, you know, at the car wash, you could just sit there. I mean, you could sit in private. At the pool, you have to sit. You're exposed. You have to sit in front of people.
Yeah, in the sun, it was awesome.
It's too much work.
Because you didn't want people to see you? Just no eyes on Freddie.
No, because you have to sit there and you can't read or listen to music or do anything. At these other jobs, you could just do whatever you want. You could go watch TV. I mean, at the car wash, we just watch TV. At a restaurant, you're working. But at the hourly wages, yeah, you just go. I mean, I didn't do anything. At the driving range, but you didn't have to do anything. You just sat there. I had a bunch of jobs. Just sitting there, you're exposed out in the lifeguard chair. You have to have. I mean, I'm sure you're not focusing on the pool, but you have to at least pretend that you're out there without distraction.
Oh, I would always. I'd show up. I'd bring out the boombox, put on my favorite music.
Yeah.
Sit back.
Well, the kid, yeah, our guys, they blare music, but they blare country music, new country music.
Oh,
yeah.
Garbage. Garbage.
Unlike the JCC pool that played Israeli rap.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
That's right.
Rap straight out of Israel.
Huh.
Just showed you the amount of people that could speak Israeli at the, yep. at the speak Hebrew. A lot of people. So it was just you, 311, and the...
Me, 311, and the 14 kids that were dropped off while their parents went to work.
Nice.
And there was this one old dude who had, like, always would bring his granddaughter, but he bought this giant inflatable tube that you usually would put, like, behind a boat when you're, like, going tubing. Massive.
Yeah.
And it would take up half the pool. And this old dude would show up with this thing. And after a while, I'd be like, sorry, you got to get... And he would give me such a hard time when I had to tell him to get it out of the pool. He's like, well, why? Well, because the place is packed, and you literally are taking up the entire shallow end of the pool, and no kid can swim around
here. That's a manager's job, telling him to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a manager's job.
You make the phone call, guy comes in.
Any time that you had to tell anyone to do anything, I'd be like, oh, I'll get the manager. That's the manager's job. Or I tell someone to do something at any job, and they go, and I go, okay. And I go get the manager. This guy's bitching. You handle it. No. I don't know. I'm not handling anything. I'll leave. I was having this conversation with my friend on Saturday. Like, you could just go and just get another job anywhere. Like, you could just,
That was your credo for a long period of time in there.
I worked at Blimpie's, and when I got fired from Blimpie's, I literally walked next door to the half-off card shop and got a job.
Every story you tell us ends with, I'll leave.
Yeah, I'll leave. Like, big deal. Like, and then I get to do training, which is, they hold your hand for 2 weeks.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, like, ooh, no, don't fire me. I couldn't possibly walk next door and get another job.
Right.
See, the manager's invested. The manager needs to be there. So that's the manager's job. If you don't like it, then I'll just... Farmington Hills is a lot like every town here. Just mini malls and garbage everywhere. You can just walk back. Oh, I'll go to the Buggy Works. You fire me at the Buggy Works, I'll go to the Ground Round. Fire me at the Ground Round, I'll go to Chili's.
What's the Buggy Works?
Buggy Works was a family restaurant, Farmington Hills, where I washed dishes. That was my first job.
Okay.
I got fired for stealing.
Stealing what?
Stupid food and crap on it. Stuff I didn't even want.
You stole food?
Yeah, there was a guy there that had some issues that was older, that had a job that normally someone his age wouldn't have, and we got him to buy us booze on a New Year's Eve.
Mm.
And then we decided that it would be a good idea to just start stealing stuff and putting it in our food and stuff.
That didn't work out very well.
No, the manager came back and he's like, what are you doing? And we're like, oh, well, caught us red-handed. What to do now? Maybe just go back to school. life goes on.
I was always just terrified that I would get fired.
See, I was the same way you were.
I had two different genes.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I did not want to, like, I never wanted to ask my parents for money at all. Nothing terrified me more than having to ask my parents for money.
You don't have to ask your parents for money. If you got fired from Subway, you could just go down the street and get a job, or go next door to Subway and get a job.
But there was that gap in time between getting your first check and the last, like, it was like a month you had to wait.
I don't know about
one
that.
To the next.
I don't know about a month.
Yeah, because like when you first start a job, you don't get your first check for what, like 3-something weeks? It's not, you're off the cycle when you first get in there.
Well, you might have to go a week. I mean, you get a paycheck at the job every other week, and maybe you'd have to go an extra week. But it was no big deal. I mean, I was going to get fed by my parents. I had shelter and food. I mean, I wasn't going to starve to death. I wasn't someone living hand to mouth. I mean, I was living at home. So there was definitely not the pressure of, starving.
I had, like, gear to buy, and I had, to, like, dates to take Mary out on and stuff like that.
Well, I'm sure she would have been
my parents for money.
Very upset if you would have not had the correct funds. Mary seems like someone who would have been very angry.
She likes the finer things in life, like the free popcorn at Burger King back in the day.
That's right. we didn't have free popcorn at Burger King.
So they did that for about a year. It was awesome. Like, they brought in popcorn machines to Burger King.
That might have been a local franchisee one, because Dan's saying that never happened to... He never experienced that either.
The Ground Round was the place to go if you wanted the free popcorn.
We didn't have... In my Ground Round, we didn't have peanuts. A lot of people talk about peanut shells on the floor, but we didn't have that at
Ground Ground Round, Fresh Pond Circle.
That just sounds to me, Rich, like you had some franchisee there with his own ideas.
Stepping out of bounds. His own thing. Yeah. I thought it didn't last very long, but we used to go, free popcorn at Burger King.
Yeah.
We'd go and we'd order like one cheeseburger and then just
It's a good thing you never had a lag between those paychecks to take her out to Burger King. You loose change gets that done.
I hated not having money. Like, it drove me crazy. So, I remember one time the guys at Subway asked me if I would come in before school to work to open up to sell sandwiches to, like, the students before they went in. I went in at 5:30 in the morning and worked till 8. And then went to school and then worked at Subway afterwards. And they gave me an extra quarter per hour for doing it. So basically I got like 50 extra cents for waking up that early to go to work before school.
People pleaser. It's nice.
I liked it too. I had no problem doing that. That was fine with me.
Yeah.
Extra $15.
At Blimpie's, you had to slice it fresh. It wasn't some cakewalk like Subway where it's all sitting there for you. At Blimpie's, you had the slicer. I mean, you had to look the people in the eye and say, I'm slicing this sumbitch for you.
Sure. We cut the vegetables, just not the meat. The meat came already.
Oh, the meat comes already cut?
Mm. Yeah. At least it went back in the day. Like, you would get a pack of turkey sliced turkey.
Oh, I was under the illusion that you sliced it in the back. I didn't know. Ooh. No, at Blimpie's, you sliced it in front of the people.
Yeah, all the vegetables you sliced, but the meat, like, was pre-sliced. It would come in packages pre-sliced.
I don't know if they
do that anymore, but it used to be that way.
I don't like that. I always under the assumption that they cut the meat there, just they did it in back and weighed it out. Oof. Oh. I eat Subway all the time, but I
love Subway.
Well, I don't love it. It's just there's nothing else.
It's like a testament to if you work at a restaurant and you still like eating there, that means the food's, because you've seen all the
I've never worked anywhere that was dirty. I mean, at Jocks and Jill's, there were mice and stuff in the morning, but what are you going to do? That building was built, in the Civil War. I've never worked anywhere that was too dirty. I've never seen anyone spit in food. I've never seen any of that. People talk about that stuff all the time like it happens. Like, I have a friend who peed in the batter at Kentucky Fried Chicken or something, and you're like, I never saw anything like that.
No, I didn't either.
And I worked at Jocks and Jill's at CNN Center, which was all people on work release. All people with serious criminal records in the kitchen. And I never saw them do anything, except for the guy washing dishes, sadly, eating the food off people's plates. That I saw a lot. Yeah, that's gross. That was gross. All right. Well, listen, if you're going into a minimum wage job, just know that there's a job next door waiting for you in case you do get fired. Or you could work at there's some places, I won't even say the kind of business, but there's some places that I go into now where I'm convinced that the employees don't get paid, that they just like being there, like a High Fidelity situation. Do you know the movie High Fidelity?
Yes.
Where they where Jack Black doesn't get paid?
Yes.
There's places like that.
Yes.
I think they might get slid like a pack of baseball cards or something. Yes.
We had an intern at BCN who ran out his internship, or I don't think he was technically in school, and he just showed up and finally had to go to somebody. I'm like, this person is just here.
Yeah.
I remember that.
They gave him a room. It was underneath the stairs, and there was like a little closet, and they just said, here, we're going to put you to work.
In Brighton?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
when you went out the back doorway, there was it was like a little bit of a storage room.
Yeah.
Set up a reel-to-reel machine because all of the stuff that they took out of storage, all the old reel-to-reel, he was just transferring them digitally.
I remember that.
And he just kept showing up. I swear to God, Fred, 6 months went by. Rich, you remember this.
That's not the nacho eater, is it? The guy okay.
No, the nacho eater didn't even have the kindness to show up to the station. He just went and ate nachos at the movies.
Yes.
He never even came into the station. Yeah. He didn't get his own like a sucker.
You want to talk about weird kinks? Like, that guy had a home. It wasn't like a homeless guy. And like, after the movie was done, he'd wait for everyone to leave and he'd pick up people's nachos off the floor and eat them.
Yeah. Yeah. You almost have to have a thing because, that's a level of poverty where I don't know how you're getting to the movie theater. That's a level of poverty where, that's begging for change on the street.
I don't even know it's poverty. Like, he had a job.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that in order for that to be, in order to live, I have to go eat nachos off the floor, is, a level of poverty. There's plenty of poor people that don't need to eat nachos off the floor. I'll put it that way. There's plenty of people that are living hand-to-mouth or maybe don't have jobs. Jesus, I know people that have been unemployed. Do you know what Medicaid pays for? Oh, my goodness. I know people that don't have jobs that are unemployed that are on welfare and Medicaid, and they're living the life of Riley. I'm paying $600 to get an MRI, and they're out having kids, and everything's taken care of. They don't pay a dime. So eating nachos off the floor is a whole other level. That guy just liked eating nachos off the floor.
That's what I got.
You can play the system enough where you don't have to be eating nachos off the floor. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you that. I know plenty of people that haven't worked. I know people haven't worked in 20 years with no family money that have just riding it out. Now, they don't have, like, large families, but I know one who just had a kid, and she don't have to pay a dime in anything. I'll tell you that much. Woo-wee. All right, Rich, busy day in sports yesterday.
Oh, we got a new national champion, ladies and gentlemen, and who did Jim Nantz give the tie to?
Yeah, sadly, we have some information on that. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friend.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Baylor basketball has gone from murder and covering up murder. Dave Bliss covering up the murder of Patrick Dennehy. And then a documentary of him admitting it when he thought he wasn't on camera. To greener pastures under Scott Drew of the great Drew coaching tree.
Mm-hmm. And almost perfection, we learned, isn't perfection.
Yeah, you knew that.
Madison will put the brakes on and dribble this one out. And the Baylor Bears do indeed bear down to knock off the unbeaten Gonzaga Bulldogs.
You know, they
claim the school's first men's basketball championship.
You had all day and most of the game to figure that one out. Jeez.
First of all, I'd like to be the steroid dealer at Baylor because that team is very muscular.
Guys on that team.
A lot of muscularity on that team.
A lot of big guys, except for the guy with the mullet that Jeff Goodwin was telling us about.
He was sneaky quick.
I know, but the funny thing is you look at him, you're like, okay, I've seen that guy at every rural gas station in America.
Yep.
And even with the mustache that didn't fill in, I've seen that guy everywhere.
Yeah.
And a great basketball player.
But mustache man from Gonzaga wasn't posing yesterday, was he? He was atrocious. At least I watched the first half. Timmy. I didn't think I would.
Drew Timmy.
Yeah, Timmy was atrocious. I think he turned the ball over 2 out of 3 possessions at one point in the first half. Oh, good.
The Gonzaga, it was one of those things where they were ready to rewrite the history books. Everyone was saying this was going to be the team. The first one since what, John? 76, I think, that was going to be the first
undefeated. Yes, Bobby Knight. That was Indiana. Yeah.
So there you go. But and Baylor said, how about we kick you in the balls on national TV first?
Game was over in like 5 minutes.
Well, they were up by 17 at one point in the first
19.
Half.
19.
Yeah,
it was
9-0. And then the closest Gonzaga got the rest of the night was 11-4.
Yeah.
That was it. They never got closer than that.
Yeah,
So what you're saying is that the Jalen Suggs shot at the end of the Final Four game was the last time they held a lead.
That's correct. That's right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
And he got the two fouls on him early in that game.
He was
bad. But that Timmy guy really took the ball home. He just said, I am the least valuable player in this thing. I've been outclassed. That guy shouldn't play. Look at his career in Florence, Italy or something, because he ain't playing professional basketball on U.S. soil anytime soon.
Well, if the 70 points that Gonzaga scored seems low to you, that's because it was. After averaging a national best 92 points a game, Gonzaga really picked the worst time to deliver their season low. On top of that, Baylor came out hot, and as you were saying, 19 points they led by, never looked back. After the game, Butler's Jared Butler said he didn't want to get caught up too much in their lead.
we didn't look at the scoreboard. Like, we were just going out there and giving it our all, and we were just going to let the combos where they fall. I looked up at halftime, we're up 10. I knew at some point we were up big because I was just like, we're scoring, they're not scoring. You know, everybody was hitting the shots. It was like nobody's going to miss, but it's just electrifying, especially in that type of moment in a big game, you know, and everybody stepped up. Like, everybody was clicking on all cylinders. Like, that's what it takes to win.
So for Gonzaga, this got to suck because, what, like just 4 years ago, they took a one-loss team all the way to the championship before ultimately losing to North Carolina. Yep. So this is a nightmare all over again.
Well,
for
they
them.
Don't play anybody. Their schedule
the West
sucks.
Coast Conference is not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their schedule sucks. I mean, you saw that over and over on Twitter. Do you think Dave Bliss is happy that he's trending right now?
Probably not. No.
That you knew of murder and you covered it up? Do you think when Baylor won, he was like, oh boy, here we go again.
Now everybody's I actually don't know it. That story. What is the story with
all right,
that?
There's a documentary called Disgraced, and there was a Baylor basketball player named Patrick Dennehy who was murdered, and blah, 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 blah.
What year was this?
This was in
2003.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And there were many sanctions put on the team. And there's this, whatever, you can read about it on Wikipedia. But the coach knew about it. And he devised this whole cover-up where he said to tell the cops that Dennehy brought in this. It's pretty, actually, tragically funny. He tells the kids to tell the cops that Dennehy would bring in this massive tray of drugs, and they do a reenactment of like what the guy was saying and what it would have looked like. So like this picture a tray of like a cup with like pre-rolls in it and like a jellyfish or a goldfish bowl full of pills and like this neatly thing of powder. So he told his kids to lie to the police. So one of his assistant coaches wore a wire during the meetings where that this coach would have and where he instructed the coaches to lie to the police about this Dennehy kid.
Jeez, man.
And so Dave Bliss is you know, interviewed in this documentary like an idiot. He agrees to be interviewed. And then there's a time in it where he is mic'd and he's talking to them and he's like, yeah, you know, and he's walking around and he's like, he doesn't think that they're going to use this part. But he admits to everything. He admits to lying to the police, and he admits to covering the whole thing up. And he's a real piece of garbage. Baylor's a very, 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 very sketchy school.
Well, every time I see Baylor like do anything successful, and like RG3, he went there, right? And every That's time right. I see like a star athlete or a team like that play, I always ask, why would anyone go to Baylor? Have you ever been to Waco, Texas before?
It's East Texas or West Texas, right?
It's on the drive from Dallas to Austin, and it's in the middle of it where there is nothing. I mean, there is nothing except for the greatest barbecue restaurant in the world called Rudy's, which is in a gas station. But other than that, there is nothing. And every time I go down there, I think to myself, how is this place cranking out like decent teams? Like, why would anyone go to this
and
school?
Home renos, because the really annoying couple is down there in Waco. The kings of the renovation. That couple. Oh, you guys got to know the couple's name.
Wolfman and Donna?
Chip and Joanna Gaines are in Waco, Texas. They're exclusively in Waco, Texas.
The ones who have that restaurant that they... Yeah, I know you're talking about. They're the ones on the channel, the HGTV, yes, all the time.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the Baylor football program got in a lot of crap, too, with shenanigans. So every time I think Drew's most likely on the up and up, even though it does appear steroids have gone through that team. Like, Gonzaga's undefeated.
You don't know, maybe the weight program's a winner. You have no idea.
Well, of course I don't know. I can't say under any certainty, but
to check on them, you have to go to Waco. So
yeah, exactly.
No one's really going to go all out to do that.
I blame Joanna Gaines for everything.
There's no reason to go to Waco. Like, I mean, it's
no, I never go. I'll never go in my entire life.
You drive past it when you're going from Dallas to Austin, and that's about it. And that's
how far a drive is that from Dallas to Waco?
From Dallas to Waco, I think is about 2.5 hours.
Okay. Yeah, that's far enough away. That's,
I think, about an hour away from Austin.
Which is actually closer to a civilization than State College is, which tells
I was just going to say, if you've been to State College of Pennsylvania, in Pennsylvania,
State
that's
College,
in the middle of nowhere.
State College, and your point about Waco is well taken. I don't know why you'd go to Baylor. But State College in Pennsylvania is far from a city in America as you can be, just about. It's just about as far from a city as you can be. Because even if you're in North Dakota, you're kind of by Winnipeg. But State College is 3.5 hours from anything.
Yep.
From anything. It's right geographically in the middle of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. And there is nothing around.
I went to school in Western New York State, and I drove to State College, Pennsylvania from
there.
I
took a limo there one time.
And he wanted me to come down and visit. I'm like, okay, because I went to a small school. I didn't know what a big school was like, and I went, and it took me forever. I remember driving through fields, and there's nothing out there, and you're like, why the hell am I doing this?
Yeah, it's almost creepy.
Yeah.
How out in the middle of nowhere you are.
Who did Jim Nance give his tie to?
He doesn't do it anymore. And now I know how we know about the tie, because he threw like a hissy fit saying that no one wanted it anymore in 2016. So the reason we even know that he gave away his tie is that he made a big production about not doing it anymore.
And so he just... They stopped.
Yeah, like because I guess the kids didn't want it.
You know how it ended. You know it ended with him giving a tie, and one of the players looking at him like, "What the F is this?"
Well,
like,
put yourself in that situation. You just won the national championship,
right?
You cut down the net. You're celebrating with your teammates, and this is every dream fulfilled. And then this moron comes up to you who you don't care about at all with a tie. I mean, think about how narcissistic that is of him to think that you would want that. sure. And, like, what are you going to do? Like, out of all the stuff, like, you're going to keep Jim Nance's tie? I mean, he really is something else. He really is something else. Making less than Skip Bayless.
I'm just saying, though, how removed from reality is he? He just got, after the game was over, he walked to the airport, got a limo to the airport, got on a private plane. He's in Augusta, Georgia this morning.
Yeah, well.
I mean, how far removed from reality is he? And if you consider that, the behavior actually kind of fits.
It's like walking into a surprise party and just like going like, I found a dime outside, everyone. Yeah, well, it's so-and-so's 50th birthday. No, my dime. I found it. I'm the star. Here's my tie. Oh, well, great, Jim. How many times, honestly, I will ask you this. How many times did that tie stay in the possession of the player that received it?
How many ties do you think he gave out?
How many ties left the arena and didn't
end up in a trash can? That's
what I'm saying.
No, that's what I'm saying.
None.
Like, that didn't just end up on the court. Like,
none.
You're going to hold on to that thing?
None. Left in the locker room.
Again.
In a wastebasket.
So it just reminded me, because it's like when Allen Robinson got the AC/DC ESPN award.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He got the AC/DC plaque.
Yeah. At least someone got paid for that. At least AC/DC paid to have that done.
Right.
It's not just some schmuck going, like, here's my tie. Like, you're throwing yourself into the whole thing. There's nothing. And the kids that win are always, you know, 20, 21 years old. Do you think that those kids, they're big Jim Nance fans from way back.
Bruins Luchador says, when the Bruins won the cup, Dale gave them his socks.
That's true. No, Dale was never around when they won anything. He's
no, that
the
was
curse.
It's the curse. It was Catherine Tappan at the time. So maybe Jack Edwards, you know.
he gave them his box. He said, teach your kids to skate with this. Have them hold it in front of them and skate. All right, so anyway, there you go. They're not the murderer school just anymore. They've won the championship.
Good for Scott Drew.
Disappointing game last night as far as just the entertainment value.
But I like seeing that Timmy guy have to eat it a little bit. Just because you have a mustache doesn't make you a star. Now you're just going to be like the overly tall guy at every function. Like, did you play basketball? Yeah. Yeah, where, Gonzaga? Oh, you're that? Oh, yeah, you're the douche with the mustache that got killed in the championship game. Yeah.
That's his life. Are you Adam Morrison?
Yeah. Well, at least Adam Morrison got paid. All right, and he's got a very good job calling Spokane, Washington basketball games. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
The Bruins, they really could have used a win last night. They fall short.
Yes, indeed. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Want to make a good morning even better?
Oh!
Now, you can listen to Toucher and Rich on the radio.com app.
You're locked in to the show.
It's Toucher and Rich.
More times for the people in the back.
I remember that video that they filmed on the couch over there, and there used to be a couch in the hallway.
How weird is it to finally be here and see where it was filmed? It's like taking a tour of where all the great movie scenes are. I saw something on YouTube, and they were like, this is the small town where Napoleon Dynamite was made. I mean, it's really like the middle of nowhere. I even forget what state it is. One of them states, like Idaho or something. And the director was from there.
Yeah.
And they said, we got people coming all the time. They want to see all the places where it was filmed. Talk about a vacation. Like, you're going all the way to nowhere just to go like, oh, well, this is the house where the dude threw the football.
Idaho.
Well, I'll be honest. When I went to Albuquerque, like the first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to see where El Polo, the Polo Hermanos from Breaking Bad was.
Yeah, but you're in Albuquerque, which is a place where people live. You're not in rural Idaho where there's no, like people go to Albuquerque. Like there's business done there. There's transactions being made. There's life being supported. That I get. Yeah, of course.
Buddy of mine who went to, I think it's Banff, to see where they filmed Mystery Alaska. They actually built the town, he was telling me, and he wanted
to
go see
that at the theater.
Mystery Alaska is a pretty good movie.
It is, but I mean, would you go to Banff just to see where they filmed it?
Well, he was obviously in Alaska.
Yeah. It's like, okay, put it this way. Like, I go to Marfa, Texas, and, you know, there are some people who go, hey, that's where No Country for Old Men was filmed, and There Will Be Blood. You know, but those are people who are going to go there anyway. Like, you didn't go on a Napoleon Dynamite tour, probably. It's just, to them, a lot of people probably means, like, two people a week.
Okay, we're getting caught up in the idea of going and looking at where things are shot. That was not the point I was making. The point I was making was I don't think there's a place in this country probably more in the middle of nowhere than College Station, than where they filmed Napoleon Dynamite. I mean, you're right. It's probably like
they just
five
happen
people.
To be right
because I don't
to
even
them,
think
that's a big deal.
Like I don't even think if you're driving cross country that's like a place like you would drive through. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not like off the freeway. It's it's not where the world's largest ball of yarn is. It's far more removed than that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the Bruins, Rich, skate to a overtime loss last night.
Yeah, they could have used that win, too, last night.
Behind the play, you got a couple of guys knotted up. Sanheim cuts in, shoots, he scores! He walked into the right circle, got around Bergeron, and drills it inside the far post as Marchand is going at one of the Flyers. But for the first time in six meetings, the Flyers will come up with 2 points. It's a 3-2 overtime victory here at TD Garden.
So with the Flyers nipping at their heels in the standings, the Bees, they let one slip away, 3-2 overtime right there. And that is their third loss in three games from a team that just seems to be trying to figure things out while managing injuries and COVID cases left and right. And no better case than that of the goalie situation. So with Tuukka out and Halak now in COVID protocol, it took Dan Vladar out there yesterday to step up. And he did a good job. He did enough to
top
the team
plays.
To win.
He was in top plays. He was the number three top play.
He was very good. I mean, he stopped the first 24 of 25 shots, 29 total after the loss.
Saved their ass on at least three different occasions.
He did.
He had one really good save in overtime.
My plan is all coming to fruition.
I'll tell you what, if he keeps getting time and he keeps delivering like this, I mean, that you're absolutely right.
Well,
this
we'll
is the thing he didn't have.
Yeah, we'll talk to Fluto Shinzawa at 7:20. The reputation of Rask around the league, not good.
Well, here's Cassidy, who couldn't say enough good things, even after the loss, about his goaltender.
Very athletic guy. He never quits on a puck. I mean, that's what everyone loves about him. You know, he's going to have to work on his technique like every other young goalie. But, no, he's a battler in there. Great for us. You know, you need those type of saves. That, you know, gives you some juice, especially after a penalty kill. So good for him. I mean, you know, like I said, I think Vladdy will do that. He'll make some of those acrobatic saves. He certainly did there.
So he's put together four pretty impressive starts for the Bruins. And to your point, Fred, that you were, it sounds like you were alluding to, there was that article in The Athletic, which we're going to have Fluto Shinzawa on at 7:20. And if I'm not mistaken, John, he was alluding to the fact that he said that Vladar is viewed as having the potential to be nothing more than a backup goaltender in the NHL, correct?
Ceiling is a backup goaltender.
Maybe. I mean, they think he's a borderline. The source that Fluto talked to thinks he's a borderline goaltender.
That's what I said.
His
ceiling is a borderline goaltender. His ceiling is a backup goaltender. That's exactly what I just said. Come on, use your brain. But I know you're deaf in one ear, but you listen to the one that hears.
Okay. But the good news is that he's not playing like that.
Well, the
he's
other kid is supposed to be a stud. The kid that backed up him last night, the kid from Maine. But what was most interesting about that article is how the scout said every year at the end of the season, Tuukka S is on him. Like, Tuukka bails. And now,
what did he mean by that?
But he lists the four last seasons
screwed him. It's always something, is the gist of it.
And it wasn't just last year. He goes on to list, I can find it in 1 second, but he goes on to list about how Tuukka bails on him at the end of every season. There's always something.
There's an injury.
Wrong.
You remember he was sick in that last game of the season against Ottawa where they needed to win. You know, it's always something with Tuukka, and this is a guy who doesn't work here, works presumably for another team. And because of that, it is now expected that it is a possibility the Bruins will move on from him at the end of the season.
I mean, you absolutely have to. He doesn't play for you. He doesn't play for you. He's not around. And it happens all the time.
Okay, so I know of the chicken wing. Well, that ended up not being a chicken wing incident, which was one game. And then we know about the family situation that he left for. What else is there?
I can find it in 1 second. Here's the quote. 4 years, something's happened with Tuukka down the stretch, noted an NHL source referring to Rask. 2019-20, exit from the bubble. Last game illness in 2015-16, and Game 6 performance in the 2013 Stanley Cup Final. Gone to S every time. So because they say, are you outside?
So he's blaming Tuukka for the Game 6 loss against the Blackhawks?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Are you outside?
Tuukka. Me? No.
There's a beautiful bird chirping. The Wog's got a boner. That's the only reason I know. But the longer the Rask absence extends, the greater the chance that the Bruins will miss the former Vezina winner. Sunday 7-5 win over the Pittsburgh was proof of that. Halak let in three stoppable pucks, including a long-distance Sidney Crosby, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, 4 years, something's happened to Tuukka down the stretch, noted the NHL source.
I don't think that that's fair to blame him for the Blackhawks one if they're throwing that at it.
Well, then listen, he can do no wrong. All I know is he's never around. And I'm not paying a guy not to be around. And so, you know, it's every year. Every year it's something. And so maybe his back is the most hurt back in the history of the world. But that doesn't mean that I have to pay him. Let his back hurt for someone else. Let him eat a bad chicken wing for someone else.
It's funny because Rask is on the record as saying he doesn't want to play anywhere else.
I believe him too. And I believe him too. I believe he would want to split his time between him and here in Finland. But I wouldn't pay him 1 cent to be on this team anymore. No way.
The problem is if that scout that talked to Fluto is right and Vladar is nothing better than a backup goaltender, though Rich, I agree with you, he's certainly playing better than that right now.
Four games,
And Swayman is viewed as a future number one, but is not seen as being ready to be next year.
Mike Piazza was taken as a favor to his dad, and he ended up being a Hall of Fame catcher.
Well, we're just talking about next season. Who's your number one goaltender?
Well, if I have a Hobie Baker kid that they think could be a stud, and I have a guy who's proven himself in the NHL this year as being formidable, and I can spend as much money as I want in free agency to bolster my defense and my offense, I like it. You could win games 4-3. You don't have to win games 2-1. Win games 4-3. You have a third of your salary cap opening up. You will be the most. It will be the Patriots on steroids. You'll be able to get whoever you want. You'll be able to make wild trades. You'll be able to accept other people's bad contracts in order to get a better player. All those things will be available to you. And no way Tuukka Rask is part of this team anymore. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.